So Vita Halappanová, you know that name. She's the Irish woman who died after being refused an abortion in an Irish hospital. Her husband, it seems, was told by way of explanation that this is a Catholic country. It's a shocking story, and it's one that still makes waves. Now, whether this was an instance of medical negligence or a religious determination is being hotly debated, whichever, it's obviously a terribly sad affair. Now, abortion is far more freely available in this country, but what about in our Catholic healthcare system? Can a conscientious objection overwhelm a woman's rights under Australian law? Kerry McEwen is Parliamentary Advocacy Intern for Care with a special interest in reproductive rights and public awareness. Kerry, welcome.
Hi, it's lovely to be here.
Now, let's just start with some basic principles. The differences between Catholic hospitals in this country and other public and private hospitals when it comes to reproductive health care.
Okay, well, the Catholic health system in Australia, Catholic hospitals in particular, operate under a specific code of ethics for Catholic health services. And in that code of ethics, there is a general provision for conscientious objection for all employees. But the way that this differs from the public system, because public employees also have a right to conscientiously object to provide services, is that the code of ethics for the Catholic hospitals explicitly prohibit certain action by employees or certain services being provided by Catholic facilities. So, for example, this includes abortion, emergency contraception, general discussion of contraception, referral for these services in many circumstances. So it's quite different in that it's actually creating limitations on what employees can provide to patients.
And we're talking here potentially of we're not delineating here between public and private hospitals. Some of the biggest private hospitals, some of the biggest public hospitals in the country are run by Catholic healthcare services.
That's right. I think there's 21 public hospitals that are officially Catholic hospitals in Australia, and they're mixed between metropolitan areas and rural areas. And there's a big concern that it's not very clear where in certain rural areas a Catholic hospital may be the only reasonable provider for women if they're going in and needing medical care on a reproductive rights issue. And it may not be feasible for them to go to another provider if they get turned away by a Catholic hospital.
Which leads us to, I guess, the key question here. Could a situation, the circumstances which led to the death of Savita Halappanová, could that occur here?
Well, the sad thing is that it's quite possible that a woman's health could be seriously compromised by this approach of Catholic hospitals, because we've had an example of a story told to Leslie Cannold, who researches on this issue, of a woman in a Melbourne Catholic hospital who presented to the hospital her membranes having ruptured during pregnancy, and that led to the fetus being unviable. The fetus would not survive, but it was just a matter of time waiting for the fetus to pass away. And normally, standard of care is to have drugs to induce the pregnancy or have a surgical removal of the fetus to prevent issues of infection and septicemia, like how Savita and Ireland died. However, this woman was required to wait a week until infection set in, and her life was endangered and her health was endangered until the fetus could be removed. Because under the code of ethics, a woman's health and life and a fetus's health and life are weighed equally. And so it's sort of, they have to wait to the situation where a woman's life's in danger and the risk to a woman's life is outweighed by the risk to the fetus's life, if that makes sense.
I mean, a lot of people would be surprised that a situation can exist within a hospital environment which is at odds with the basic legal situation, with the understanding that women would have of their rights in Australian law.
Well, it's an extremely interesting and contentious issue, and it hasn't had any kind of, there hasn't been strong case law in terms of negligence cases against practitioners. I suspect a large part of it is this confusion in terms of doctors having a right to conscientiously object, that intersecting with standards of care, that intersecting with the fact that many women would be very traumatised, and it's quite a stigmatised issue in Australia, that it will be quite difficult and expensive for a woman to come forward and then disclose this in a public arena, her experience and her battle to try and get what is legal health treatment. in Australia.
Kerry McEwen works in parliamentary advocacy for Care Australia. Sunday Extra, Jonathan Green with you. We're talking about women's rights in the various healthcare systems that operate in this country, in particular the distinction between the Catholic healthcare system and hospitals outside of that system. And this, Kerry, is where it's interesting that you mentioned the situation in a lot of rural and regional areas of Australia, where basically there may be only the one option in a lot of towns in this country.
Well, that's right. And I think what's that kind of introduces the issue of whether it's appropriate for institutions to provide effectively, conscientiously object to provide services. Because people who defend the Catholic hospital's stance on this issue often say that, you know, all hospitals, public, private, Catholic, non-Catholic in Australia, aren't expected to provide every single health service in Australia. However, if a hospital is willing to provide the full suite of maternity health services but refuses on very specific services because of moral issues, that isn't a resources question or a staffing question or a safety question. That's just a choice of a hospital to deprive women access. And in a rural setting, I think that throws up a lot of moral and kind of policy issues that we need to address. And it sort of leads on to another issue, which is regulation. Mm. And in Australia, we don't have any supervision of this issue. And overseas, they've kind of addressed this in that it's not accepted that institutions have a right to object, and it's only employees, individual practitioners, have a right to object to provide these services. And so it's hospitals' responsibilities to employ individuals who will take over those services if someone objects, and it's the government's responsibility to supervise the healthcare system to ensure that all people have access to services, even if some individuals conscientiously object.
Because it would not be a reasonable position for the Australian government to insist of the Catholic healthcare system, if it does have this conscientious objection to certain procedures, it would be unreasonable to insist that they perform them against...
Exactly.
Against their will and their conscience.
It'd be unreasonable to insist for individuals to perform them, but if you have practitioners who are qualified and willing to perform these procedures, it seems quite reasonable that in some capacity, especially in areas where, in rural areas where people don't have much of a choice, that they are available, that alternative providers are available for women.
It's hard to imagine a Catholic hospital in that instance
allowing that
making
to happen.
That possible.
It is. It's a big issue, but that kind of comes to the core of the conflict of rights that are occurring in this case, which is a conflict between the right to conscientiously object of an individual and the right of a patient, specifically in these circumstances, a woman, to access reproductive health care. And unfortunately, when defending conscientious objection, people often blow this out of proportion and suggest that any regulation of the right to conscientiously object effectively forces people to participate in murder or something like that. Whereas in the international law where this right is sourced from, it explicitly provides for that right to be regulated for the purposes of public health. So it doesn't make any sense that we have a one or the other approach. It really needs, if both rights are to be respected, we need more management, more supervision and more alternative providers for people.
I guess the bottom line, Kerry McEwen, is that we're talking about a healthcare system which is fundamentally publicly funded, whether it be Catholic administered or administered by a secular bureaucracy, the funding base is the same. I mean, I guess that's where regulation might flow from, is some sort of constraint on that funding, which insisted on certain behaviour. It's a real can of worms.
Well, it is. I think the general regulation on the issue of abortion is a political minefield for a lot of people. And the issue would have to be, I think, if you suggested restrictions on funding kind of forcing hospitals to employ others or to have referral mechanisms of that kind of thing, I think it would probably be a very effective means of regulation, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think probably the best means to protect women's rights, unfortunately, currently is greater awareness, because there was a study recently in the US that showed that 45% of women thought that if they went to a Catholic hospital, the Catholic hospital would still provide them with services against Catholic beliefs. So there's not this public awareness that if you go into a Catholic hospital, you know you won't get an abortion or you know you won't get these services. or that you know what the Catholic Church thinks on these issues. Women think that if it's a public hospital, they'll get public health services just like any other hospital.
Given that that's their right under law. You mentioned the idea of referral, and that does exist in Victoria, for example, where a woman can report to a hospital, maybe refused certain services, but it is the obligation, the obligation then of that hospital to refer that case to another medico or another institution. That would seem to be something which could be instituted as some sort of regulatory response to this.
I definitely think that's a crucial regulatory response. However, I think we have to pair that with some kind of reporting of conscientious objection and enforcement mechanisms, because currently, under the Code of Ethics, there's no referral, for example, for emergency contraception in an emergency department, yet that's contrary directly to Victorian law, I think, or an abortion, sorry, in a hospital, yet that's contrary to Victorian law, yet I don't know, there doesn't seem to be much research or much evidence whether that law is being obeyed or not, or whether the Code of Ethics have been modified, or whether practice has changed within Catholic hospitals in Victoria. So it's very difficult to enforce what is largely an unseen and private interaction.
Is there even a dialogue here, given the significance of Catholic healthcare within the country's healthcare mix? To get to the bottom, it would seem necessary that there be a reasonable sort of high-level discussion of some of these issues. Is that beginning to take place?
I think if you mean a high level, do you mean at a federal level?
At a government level, yeah.
Well, because it's largely a state-regulated issue, I think that in itself, it definitely tends to be restricted to state sort of political discussion. And even then, again, just the fact that abortion is such a contentious issue, it is very low on the list, I think, of controversial and considered important issues. I think the tale of Savita does start to ring some alarm bells and have people starting to examine what system we have in Australia and whether that's good enough for patients.
I guess, as you say, women make the assumption that their rights under law will be provided as a right within hospitals.
I think from my personal experience and other people who are researching on this issue, when you discuss it in the community, there's shock and outrage because people don't believe that a rape victim could present to emergency and be refused care, legal, appropriate care, that a woman could be left lying in bed for a week waiting for infection and grieving for her baby instead of getting the appropriate medical care. It's just a shocking situation and one that deserves further scrutiny in Australia, I think.
Kira McEwen, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you very much.
Kira is a parliamentary advocacy intern for CARE. Her special interest, as you've probably deduced by now, reproductive rights and public awareness. And Sunday Extra will look a bit deeper into that topic next week. It's clearly an issue that invites at least a two-sided discussion. Next week at the same time, right after background briefing, Dr. Bernadette White, who's clinical director of obstetrics at Mercy Hospital for Women.